Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And this is April 2nd, 2024. And on today's show, we are going to look at the week ahead, you know, cosmically speaking, astrologically speaking. And we're going to focus on the energy of Aries and Libra, which is a continuum. Those are opposite signs. And we're going to do that through a variety of ways. But specifically, we're going to look at the north and south nodes of the moon. And one of the reasons, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, about how important those were and, you know, the fact that the north node is in Aries and the south node is in Libra. So I thought, you know, it's perfect for this week because we're also in that in-between week between those eclipses. And those eclipses are on the Aries-Libra continuum. So I think that that is the thing to do, and that's what we're going to do. And like I said, I promised you, and I thought, as I kept looking at what was going on this week, I thought, let's just, you know, sneak in those notes and let's take a look, and that'll give us some good information. Now, we're also, and here again, depending on how much time we have, we're going to look at the Mercury retrograde. We're going to look at Venus moving into Aries as well. And by the way, I wanted to invite you to come over to Facebook, which is our private chat room that we use during our radio shows. But just now, my Facebook just closed up, and I'm not sure what that's about. So I am going to see if I can log back in. I don't know if that happened to anybody else, but all of a sudden I had it up, and it just like, bing, it was gone, closed. So I may not be able to get in there. The timing is not good, but let's say, okay, I'm back in. So we'll see. You know me, I'm kind of inept with this Facebook thing. So in any case, oh, and I see a few people. So, oh, now it's telling me that my account is restricted because I didn't follow community standards. Now, I have no idea what that means. I don't know what I've done, but maybe somebody can let me know what I've done. But okay, we're not going to worry about that. Maybe it's a Mercury retrograde thing, right? So unfortunately, that may mean I won't be able to see some of your comments, although I can still see a few things. So in any case, we'll deal with that later. So let's get on to what we're going to talk about this week. So here again, we're going to talk about the cosmic dance for the week of April 1st. Hope you had a good April Fool's. This time of year is actually always positive for me because the little dog that I've got, I call him little guy, sometimes little Tucker. Well, he came to me on April 2nd, and I found out that I might get him on April 1st. And in fact, it was kind of a weird set of circumstances. And so when the person texted me on April 1st, 2 years ago, I said, is this an April Fool's joke? I mean, are you yanking my chain? And she's like, no. And so in any case, Tucker came to live with me 2 years ago. So it's a very, you know, I always look forward to April 1st, April 2nd, because it's a nice anniversary right now for me. You know, I mean, among other things, so there's other reasons to love April. But as we move into this week, I want to, as many of you know, I write an article for Mark's Power Peak every week, and I certainly hope that you subscribe to that newsletter, blog, whatever you want to call it, because there's lots of good information, not only the article that I write, which I hope is good information, which is the week ahead, but many of my colleagues write articles, and I find them very inspirational. You know, it's just nice to kind of be with people of like mind and see their perspective and just feel like, you know, you're part of a family, part of a group. So I would highly encourage you to subscribe to Mark's Power Peak if you don't already, and also read it when you feel so moved to read it. And if you're not a subscriber, you can find that over on 12listen.com. Just go over there. You'll see a link to sign up for Mark's Power Peak. But when I write Mark's Power Peak, or the article that I write for it, as I've told you many times, I do a complete spread of cards. Some of those are tarot cards. Some of those are oracle cards. And it just depends on what's going on and what moves me. But almost always, I use 7 to 10 decks of cards when I write that article. And it also just kind of sets a stage. What's going on this week? what's happening. And most of the time, as I kind of go through the process and write the dailies, I come up with a few things that to me are just what maybe I'd call watchwords or phrases or concepts for the week. And I thought, you know, a lot of times I don't directly share those with you, and maybe I'll start doing that, because this week I thought they were particularly good. And here again, not necessarily my words, but things that keep coming up, you know, themes in the cards. And with the eclipses, we're between two eclipses. We also have Mercury moving retrograde. It moved retrograde yesterday. And we've got a ton of Aries planets out there. So I thought, you know, these words or these concepts were particularly useful to me. And I hope they will be throughout the week and maybe through the month. So the first one is accept where you are. Not having to change anything. Just observe where you are. And not being obsessed with changing or making something different. Because, you know, as we look at that Aries energy, it's courageous. It's adventurous. It wants a challenge. It wants to be off doing something. But as we look at the continuum or the other things that are going on in the cosmos, specifically Libra energy, it's not that it's not energetic, because it is very energetic, but it's saying it's about us. Aries always says it's about me, and Libra says it's about us. So there is this dynamic sometimes. Are we, you know, are we racing all around with that fire energy of Aries because we want to be different or we're trying to satisfy a need? Or maybe we're even doing that rushing around because we're trying to please somebody else. And with the Mercury retrograde especially, I think it's time to just go, okay, let's take it slow. Aries energy is very inspirational, but it doesn't mean that we have to run around all the time. So the first concept is just accept where you are. And can you even say to yourself, I'm exactly where I need to be. Whatever is happening for me right now, maybe I like some of it, maybe I don't, but is there something to learn here? Is this useful to me? Instead of just assuming that the grass is always going to be greener someplace else. I need to be someplace else. I need to be doing something else. So let's not make ourselves wrong. Let's accept where we are. And the other concept is it's safe to be you. You have an important and significant role to play right at this moment, even if you don't recognize what it is. Be yourself. Don't try to be someone else or something you're not. So once again, can you just sit in the place where you are and just build that confidence, build that self-love? Because I think that's a lot about what's going on this week in the cosmos. And so let's start taking a look at it. Now, as I said, we're between eclipses. Last week on Monday, March 25th, there was a full moon lunar eclipse at 5 Libra. Then next week, next Monday, April 8th, there's going to be a new moon solar eclipse at 19 Aries. So see, this is between Aries and Libra energy. That's what we've got going on. But another reason that this energy is really highlighted is because of those nodes of the moon. The north node is in Aries right now, and the south node is in Libra. And I don't remember now for sure exactly how long they stay in each sign. I think it's about a year, but this is energy that's ongoing. It's been there and it's going to be there for a while. Now, also, I want to point out a few things about the nodes as we start talking about them. They're technically mathematical calculations. So unlike Mars or Jupiter or Saturn, they're not planets or objects in the sky. They are mathematical calculations that describe the intersection of the moon's orbit around the Earth with the Earth's orbit around the sun. So here again, I'm not a physicist, I'm not an astronomer, I can't even tell you exactly how that works, but if you literally, you know, drew a picture and said, okay, here's the moon going around the Earth, and now here's the sun going around, or the Earth going around the sun, where those intersect, one is the north node on the north, and the south node, obviously, on the south. So that's what the nodes are. But personally, I have found them very, very useful in astrology for understanding things about myself. and about my clients or family members. So I'm going to go into that in a few minutes. But I want you to think about, you know, as we are on these eclipses or kind of in this eclipse cycle, on that full moon lunar eclipse last week, the moon was at 5 Libra. The south node was at 16 Libra. The sun was at 5 Aries and the north node was at 16. But we also had some other players. Pluto was in Aquarius and making very supportive positions or aspects, connections to both the sun and the moon. And see, Pluto is that planet of change, planet of transformation. So I think overall, as we look at this energy, you know, on those full moons is when we know that it's time to start releasing energy. It's time to finish it up, you know, take care of those loose ends. You know, it's like the highlight of a product cycle or a developmental cycle. So now we go, okay, this is what we created on the new moon, or this is what's going on for us. Now it's time to release it. Now it's time to do something with it. It's kind of, you know, change tracks a little bit. We're not so much in development, we're in releasing. So Pluto, I think, really helps us. And of course, when you've got an eclipse involved in with that's with the new moon or the full moon, it makes it that much more powerful. And I do think these eclipses are very powerful considering some of the other things going on in the cosmos. But Pluto, it was sitting there going, okay, I can help you do this. I can help you figure out where to go next or how to transform this in a very positive way. Jupiter is in Taurus and Venus was in Pisces during that last eclipse. And they were making a very positive sextile combination aspect with each other. But what was also interesting to me, it's that in conjunct that I sometimes talk about, because both of those, Jupiter and Venus, were in conjunct the North Node. So once again, when I looked at that last eclipse, it kept coming back. You know, I'm always looking for trends. I'm looking for themes. I'm looking for things that connect. Well, we kept coming back to Venus, the planet of attraction in multiple ways. She's the ruler of Libra, which is where some of the action was going on. And she's also the ruler of Taurus, which is where Jupiter was. And she and Jupiter were playing together and they were both, you know, making connections to those nodes. So as I looked at that, I thought, ah, this is very, very interesting. Just looking at what are we really attracted to? And or what do we want to attract into our lives? So then when we move to that next new moon solar eclipse, giving us even more information about what does this picture look like right now of the sky, or what can we take away from it? And as a reminder, these planets don't make us do anything. They honestly do not. I do believe they reflect mass consciousness. So we kind of feel what's going on, or maybe that's why things happen and they seem to be in trends, or they seem to be, you know, things are happening for different people in a similar way. So they're not doing anything to us. But as we look at it, maybe it gives us some insight into the mass consciousness. So during this next eclipse, and by the way, even though the eclipse happens on Monday, we may talk about it a little bit on Tuesday next week. We'll see. I think Mo is going to join me next week, so I'm not sure how much time we'll have to talk about that. But I wanted to give you a heads up just as you're kind of thinking about it, just absorbing. So today, as you're listening to this, or maybe you're listening to it in the archives, just absorb or take away from it what you want or what hits you. But what we're going to have is a really interesting lineup this next week, because Venus is moving into Aries this week. And so Venus is going to be in Aries. The North Node is going to be in Aries. The Sun and Moon are going to be in Aries. Chiron is at 19, which is exactly where the Sun and Moon are going to be. Mercury is going to be retrograding and is going to be at 24 Aries as this eclipse happens. And then of course we got that Libra South Node sitting over in opposition. So, I mean, it is interesting because if you look at a chart right now, we have everything other than that South Node are all sitting in only four zodiac signs: Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, and Taurus. Now, if you think about that, that's the last two signs of the zodiac, Aquarius and Pisces, which emphasizes kind of wrapping up or coming to completion. And then the first two, Aries and Taurus. So it is interesting right now, and I'll tell you as an astrologer, I mean, I've seen it for years, right? These are interesting charts that are, you know, that is our spring and summer with all the planets really bunched together. You know, it just really emphasizes the energy. So of course, you can't miss that Aries energy with everything all lined up in Aries. So why do I want to kind of go into the nodes? Well, this is it. You know, every astrologer has their handle or their pet planets or the aspects that they particularly like. And, you know, I do too. So when I look at somebody's chart, and you know, it changes from time to time. I want you to know that. You know, for years and years, when I looked at somebody's chart, the very first thing I looked at was Mars. And I look at that, but it's not the first thing I look for now. I always look, first of all, you know, when I just visually look at a person's chart, whether it's their natal chart or their transits, I'm looking for patterns. But the things that I often look for are the nodes of the moon. I look for the placement of Chiron, and I look for the moon phase. Where was the moon when they were born? And the moon phase is actually a description of the relationship between the moon and the sun. It tells me, you know, what was going on between the sun and the moon. Now, why do I look at those three things? Why are those patterns important? Because if you think about it, most people, you know, if they're wanting a chart reading or they just want to touch base or they're looking for information, and a lot of times it's not even so much predictive, like what's going to happen. They, you know, a lot of times people are trying to break patterns or they're trying to move out of something that just isn't working for them or isn't feeling comfortable anymore. Well, there's nothing like patterns like the north and south node of the moon. In fact, to me, it really is a pattern in our life. So if I want to just keep going back to the basics and go, why do I keep making that mistake? Or why do I keep getting attracted to that? Or what am I doing here? Oftentimes, I can see that in that dynamic of the north and south node. Now, to me, the south node represents whatever that sign is. When I look at that north node, it tells me, what do I know really well? Where have I come from? Now, if you believe in past lives, it can be a past life, something you learned or something you did over and over and over, or it can even just be childhood or, you know, when you were a teenager. But the south node represents, in a sense, what you already know, you're familiar with, or your go-to way of dealing with life. So when you look at that south node and you think about what sign it's in, maybe what the element is it fire, air, earth, water? What sign is it? You know, is it cardinal? Is it one of the mutable signs? Is it one of the fixed signs? Oftentimes you can start pulling those threads and really looking at the patterns. Like, yeah, when I'm scared, when I'm lonely, when things aren't going well, what do I always run back to? I call it running home to mama. You know, it's like, what are those things that I go, okay, I know this really well. And you know, we really do that. Something that's habitual, something that's routine, something that makes us safe is what we will turn to when we're in the unknown, when we're not sure what to do. So the south node represents what we have learned or overlearned. We know how to do that. Then the north node represents where we're going in this lifetime. So, I mean, think about it. We could explore that for weeks and weeks and weeks looking at those nodes. That north node, you know, to me, it's kind of like your psyche or your soul going, hey, wake up. This is where we're going in this lifetime. You know that south node stuff? You learned that. So let's learn something new. Let's put something new in your toolbox. So the north node is where we're inexplicably always drawn to those energies, maybe to people that have a sun sign like our north node, because we're attracted to that. We somehow know in our soul that that is something that we're supposed to be learning or doing, or that if we adopt some of those behaviors, that we'll feel happier, we'll feel more satisfied. That will be something that we want. So once again, we don't need to make the south node wrong. We just need to know that that's the familiar, but it's also the place where we probably overlearned some behaviors. So that's why I look at those nodes. Now Chiron, and you know, here again, we could do weeks on any of these. Chiron is an asteroid. We call it the wounded healer because it too has to do with patterns. It has to do sometimes with where we feel like a victim, where we feel like we're not as good as, we're not as deserving. You know, to me, Chiron can also almost be a spiritual crisis. Where do we feel separated? Where do we feel somehow we got left out? When they were handing out the good stuff, you know, when we were born, somehow we missed out. And depending on the sign is how it kind of manifests in your life. But Chiron is also, because it's the wounded healer, it's where some of your greatest gifts and opportunities will lie. When you quit being a victim and you finally say, you know, because in fact, sometimes I say Chiron represents our perceived weaknesses. You know, those things that we think and somebody else goes, what? You know, we think we're not fast enough, or we think we're not smart enough, or we think, you know, whatever. Like I said, we didn't get all the goodies. We didn't get all the gifts. We weren't born with the right parents, the right family, whatever it is. And Chiron shows us that that's a perception, that there's nothing true about that. And in fact, going back to that idea of accepting where you are, and understanding that everything in many ways can work out perfectly, maybe that's exactly what you needed in order to accomplish what your mission was in this life. So see, once again, you can use that Chiron really well as a healing path to really manifest the north node of your chart. Then in terms of the moon phase, you guys have heard me talk about that for, you know, a lot. But to me, I cannot tell you how many times when I look at something going on with somebody, I can pin it right back to their attitudes, their feelings, their beliefs that come from the moon phase. And I mean, I'm convinced, you know, I'd almost rather know somebody's moon phase than their sun sign. Now, that's, you know, an extreme position to take, but it's amazing what those moon phases can really tell us. Now, we're not talking about moon phases today, and we're not really going to talk about Chiron, but I just kind of wanted to give you that. Those are three things that I really look at in a chart. They're really worth exploring if you're one of those people and you want to look at that. You know, we could do it together on 1-2-listen.com or even, you know, through a 1-2 Academy class. But, and in fact, we have. I've taught a lot about Chiron and the nodes and the moon phases. But we'll leave that for now. Don't want to take up all our time. But that's why I love those nodes, because it helps us understand some of those patterns. Remember, too, the North and South Node are always opposite each other. And I have a couple of quotes that I want to read, because once again, this kind of tells you, you know, where we're coming from. Now, this is from Jan Spiller, who, by the way, I do want to highlight her, because one of the books that I always go back to is Astrology for the Soul. It's an old book. It's been around a long time, by Jan Spiller. And I just think her stuff on the nodes is excellent. Like I said, I always go back to it. Always. She said, we all have tendencies that lead to inappropriate behavior and feelings of isolation and unhappiness. The trick is to discover our own glitches and empower ourselves to avoid them. And then here's another one by Sean Covey. We become what we repeatedly do. Now that's South Node behavior. So then when you get to the North Node, here's a couple of things that I think are really helpful. This is from the Buddha. Your purpose in life is to find your purpose and to give your whole heart and soul to it. Here's another one. This is by Richard Bach. What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls the butterfly. And once again, because, you know, sometimes it's not that comfortable, you know, consider yourself dancing on that continuum between those nodes. And it's easier to go, you know, to run home to mama. It's easier to go to the South Node and to keep doing something that feels really comfortable to you. Now, before we start talking specifically about North Node in Aries, I just want to throw this out for the people who know their astrology charts or would like to know their astrology charts. If you're going to look at those nodes, what you're going to want to do, look, you know, and you know what they look like. They almost look like horseshoes. And the one that looks like a horseshoe that's holding something, you know, think about a bucket, that's the South Node. And in some ways, that analogy is really good because the self node holds on to all the habits, all the experiences that we already kind of have under our belt. The north node is just the opposite. It looks like it's pouring it all out. Now, of course, Mo can tell you it's a dragon's head and the dragon's tail, and there's all this mythology about one swallowing up the other. But look for those symbols in a chart, or there again, if you don't know what they are, call me, call another astrologer, have somebody help you figure it out. But what you're going to want to do is look for the north node, and the south node's always going to be the opposite. But look and see what house that it's in and what sign is it in. Because in some ways, you can kind of see it as you've got two north nodes. And what I mean by that is, let's take, for example, a person who has a north node in Aries in the 10th house. Well, if you're going to do that, you're going to look not only for what are the characteristics of the north node in Aries, but what is the ruler of the 10th house? The 10th house is a Capricorn house. So in some ways, you've got the characteristics, or you're moving towards a north node in Capricorn. So, and there again, in Jan Spiller's book, Astrology for the Soul, it's a thick book and she outlines all this. She gives us lots of provocative ideas about what each of those means, or you can look it up in other areas too. But know that unless, like for instance, you might just have one, like if you had your north node in Aries in the first house, then it's Aries, because Aries rules the first house. But in this case, the example I just gave you, if you have that north node in a Capricorn house, then you've got Capricorn, but that north node may be in Gemini. So maybe it's Gemini and Capricorn. So you can look at both of them. And same thing for the south node. So not to confuse you, but just to let you know that a lot of times there's a deeper level of information based on the house that the nodes are in, as well as what the sign is. So now let's look specifically, like right now in the universe, that north node is sailing through Aries. The south node is in Libra. They're always opposite. Aries often, I mean, just as a shortcut, think about it. Aries is the infant. It's the very first sign of the zodiac. Aries is me. Me, what do I want? What do I want to do? I have all this enthusiasm. I'm the 2-year-old and I'm crawling and I'm exploring and I'm checking everything out. The Aries isn't saying, oh, what about my relationships? And in fact, a baby, isn't necessarily going, oh boy, I cried a lot last night. I bet I kept my mom up. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those babies, they're learning, they're maturing, but the stage that they're at is, let's go figure this out. Let's go exploring. Let's go check it. I want some adventure. I want something to eat. I want somebody to change my diaper. I want somebody to change my clothes. Aries, let's go. So it's not about not having relationships. It's just about a particular stage. And in fact, I'll also tell you as an astrologer, when I first started learning, I kept thinking, oh, Aries are those people, they never have relationships because it's all about them. Not true. In fact, some of the happiest marriages I have ever seen, astrologically speaking, when, among clients, is when one of the people is in Aries. And at first, that kind of surprised me. But what I realized is those people are so often authentically themselves. They're not hiding anything. They're not pretending. They're just going, this is what I want. This is where I'm going. Are you coming with me? And they love to have somebody who's sharing that adventure with them. And when they find that right partner who says, yeah, I'm up for an adventure, then they just have these incredible relationships. Now, I'm not saying every Aries does, but don't make the mistake of thinking because Aries is all about me that they're not great in relationships, because they can be. Now, Libra, though, think about it, it's the opposite sign. So now, Libra, if you think about it as development, we've lived this whole life, come through our teenage years or whatever, and it's like we've been exploring, we've done some things, we know a lot about ourselves, and now we're really ready to relate to the world. Libra is about us. So when you think about it, though, if we've got that south node in Libra, it would mean that we've got a mindset that possibly needs to look at those traits of the south node. What have we overlearned or become very habitual about in terms of relating to other people? In what ways have we maybe let go of some of that Aries adventure, that Aries spirit? And by the way, Aries is inspiration. So if you're feeling bored, if you're feeling like drudgery, it's really time to look at those habits and just bring some spontaneity back into your life. Because that North Node in Aries says, yeah, this is our destiny, our mission, our soul's plan for growth. Now, once again, you may be looking at your chart going, well, my North Node isn't in Aries. But for the world right now, some of the lessons we're learning or some of what we're doing, the North Node is in Aries. So, and here again, I'm borrowing from Jan Spiller a little bit, but what are the lessons or what do we need to think about with the, I said Mars because Mars rules Aries, which is another thing. Looking at where Mars is right now also tells us a little something about what's going on in all of this collaboration or this going back and forth between Aries and Libra. Mars is sitting in Pisces. And so there is this sense of, I need a spiritual basis. I need a creative basis. I need to have something rooted in something other than just the material world. But what we are focusing on, learning, or trying to develop is more independence, self-awareness, trusting our impulses, courage. Now, this is a phrase that I definitely borrowed from Jan Spiller, and I love it. Constructive self-interest. So, you know, being interested in yourself, centering your life on what you are, why you are, is not a negative thing. Now, I mean, it can be. You know, we use that word self-centered, I think, in the wrong way, because we often mean that somebody's selfish. Whereas the truth is, to be self-centered is to be taking responsibility for yourself. So constructive self-interest, but also moderation in how we're dealing with other people or in giving of ourselves. You know, the North Node in Aries says it's about self-nurturance, getting self-awareness, building confidence. And, you know, I kind of had this image when I was putting this together of doing a sack race. You know how you do that three-legged race and that kind of thing? Well, you do well when both people are really pulling. Right? When both people are really putting in everything. If one person is having to kind of drag the other person, they're rarely going to be the winner of the sack race, right? So when you think about this, what's better than having two whole people in a relationship, right? So Aries is our opportunity. Whenever there's a lot of Aries energy, which of course there is right now, it's our opportunity to really learn that, to be independent, but also to just be strong in ourselves and say, hey, I'm a complete person. I'm not trying to fill a hole in my life by looking at you and saying, what can you give to me? Now, I know we do that. I mean, let's face it. You know, a lot of times we don't consciously say that, but we get into relationships because we feel like we're missing something. This person can bring me joy. This person can make me feel safe. This person can whatever. We have all these people in our lives that we think are filling a hole. So once again, if we can just be conscious, if we can be self-aware, maybe we're thinking about that. And that's okay. Like for instance, if I'm going to eat a scone when I get off this radio show, make myself a cup of coffee and eat a scone, I want those things to please me. You know, I'm like, hey, what can you do for me, coffee? What can you do for me, scone? But I can also be really thankful for them and say, hey, I love this combination. I love this kind of synchronicity we're making together. We can do that with a scone. We can do it with a person. We can do it with a pet, a house, a car, whatever. But there's a difference between seeing it as I need you to fill me up. I need you to make me okay, to make me complete. Maybe we can just see it as synchronicity. So when the North Node is in Aries with the South Node in Libra, one of the things, you know, we can also think in terms of, okay, we embrace the independence, we embrace some things, but what are we going to leave behind? And that's seeing ourselves through other people's eyes. You know, always kind of only seeing ourselves as you know, in relationship to another person. Maybe being, you know, what they used to call Mr. Nice Guy or Miss Nice Person or whatever it is. You know, it's like I have to be nice or nobody's going to like me. Or I have to be this particular, you know, always seeing myself in terms of how is somebody else going to view me, think of me. Now, I know it's important. We want to be loved. We want to be liked. But do we become really obsessive about that? You know, do we become really, we're just dependent on it. I can't operate independently because I'm always thinking about what are you going to think about me? Right? Now, another thing, always remember with Libra, we think so much about relationships, but part of this, it's about the idea of balance. Libra is that sign that is about fairness and justice. And so sometimes with the self node in Libra, we can become very obsessed or attached to the idea of fairness. And so we're out there crusading for the world's not fair. This isn't fair. This isn't just, or off with their heads. You know, that kind of thing. If we're going to somehow punish the guilty. And when you find yourself getting into that, you might recognize that it's also taking self-responsibility and putting it on somebody else. If only the world was fair, if only this person didn't do that, then I would be okay. But see, build the North Node in Aries, build the confidence in yourself. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be out there creating justice. I'm not saying that. But when we find ourselves overly attached to ideas that if only the world was different, if only that person was different, if only, you know, we could fix this, if only we could create this justice, that somehow we'd be okay, that should be a red flag. Because it may mean that we're not really generating that confidence in ourselves. And so we can't help but look at the world through a lens of everybody else is doing something wrong. Everybody else needs to be brought to justice. So also leaving behind codependence, you know, just codependence in general, that attachment to everything being perfect, everything being in harmony, you know, I mean, and that can be that too, where if everything just isn't perfect, then I'm not going to do it. You know, have you ever seen, especially a little kid, you know, I'm thinking about when you give them food and you didn't cut the crust off the bread, or the peas are touching the salad, or whatever it is. I'm not going to eat it. It's not perfect. It's not the way I wanted it. You know, now, once again, I'm pretty picky. So I'm projecting all over here. I'm very picky. But then you ask yourself, why does everything have to be so perfect? Why did it have to be so black and white? So, you know, is it okay for things sometimes to just be okay, right? So when we find ourselves with this attachment to everything looking pretty, everything looking perfect, because there again, you know what happens then too? Do you know how sometimes I call it kind of the classical dysfunctional family issue of, you know, you never tell anybody what's really going on. You have to save face. You have to make it always look okay. Well, you know what? It doesn't always feel that way, right? And once again, I'm not saying you have to tell everybody in the world everything that's going on with you. But if you are dependent upon creating a pretty picture and you somehow think it's not okay to ever have anything that just looks out of balance, you know, that's it. When things are out of balance, we work to put them back into balance. But if you have to have the scales of Libra perfect, then maybe there's an issue. Maybe there's something to look at. Now here, I want to offer this, and I'm sure I got this from Mark Husson. I don't remember exactly when or where, but I've known this story for a long time, and I'm pretty sure he's the one that told it. And that is, if you look at people with Aries North Node, one of the people he talked about, like, in fact, this is interesting, William Shatner, remember Star Trek? Mm-hmm. William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, and Gates McFadden, and maybe even more. Gates McFadden was in the newer Star Trek, but they all had North Node in Aries. And what I got from Mark is the idea that William Shatner, as an actor, was doing all these little bit parts, but not really making it big until he became the captain of the Star Trek starship. And it was such a North Node in Aries kind of role. I mean, if you think about, you know, remember what they used to say, Star Trek, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, its 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Right? I mean, is that Aries or what? And William Shatner became a star as a result of taking on that role. So that's also kind of a fun way of thinking about it. We go through our lives playing lots of different roles, even though many of us are not actors per se. But when we get into circumstances or somehow, you know, whether, you know, however it happens, we kind of step into that place where we really embrace and take on our North Node, it's exactly where we were supposed to be. And I think it's interesting, too, Daniel Craig, who was the latest James Bond, he was born with North Node in Aries as well. And if you look at a lot of people, Winston Churchill had North Node in Aries. Now, of course, as you look at all these other people's, or, you know, at people's charts, I could probably come up with all kinds of things. I mean, I'm not saying it's always just North Node, but it is interesting sometimes. James Dean had North Node in Aries. So it's interesting just to look at how when people step into their North Node, it really does become this incredible fit for them. So I that's why I'm like really selling this hard, that that's such an interesting thing to really look into in your chart and to contemplate or meditate or play with. How do we step into our North Node? How do we say, thank you, South Node, for all the things that you've taught me, but I'm moving into this place where my psyche, my heart, my mind, something's calling me to this. Now, if you also look at this, you know, Jan Spiller says, you know, there's always an Achilles heel, so to speak. So if the North Node is in Aries, she says part of that is what we've already been talking about. You know, just this preoccupation with justice. My survival is dependent on people being fair. And if people aren't fair, then life just somehow isn't worth living, or it's just, it's not okay. But it's also, that puts the wholeness, that puts the completion into something outside yourself. And see, maybe more than anything else, Aries wants to be complete. They want to have the courage to do something on their own. They want to take a risk and pursue activities that are meaningful. So see, that's maybe a core message here. With the North Node in Aries, and now we've got these eclipses that are really stressing Aries energy, and balancing that with the Libra energy is, are we willing to pursue activities that we find meaningful? Now, that can include doing something with a partner, but, you know, do we look at what's meaningful to us in life? What inspires us, that Aries inspiration? Are we willing to prioritize those things? So as we look at this, we need to be our own partner first. We need to be fair to ourselves, and we need to treat ourselves with fairness, because the more we can do that, the more we're likely to see more justice in the world. Now, I'm not saying it's going to fix the world, but I'm just saying, you know, the place to start, especially with Aries, is with ourselves, you know, and not necessarily fix, but just prioritize that. Be fair to yourself. Love yourself. Accept where you are. Now, as we also look at what's going on, and we're kind of going to move away from this, we also have this idea of a transition of Venus from Pisces into Aries. So see, once again, to me, this plays right into this. Venus is leaving Pisces and going into Aries, ruled by Mars. And so kind of reestablishing or looking again at what does ideal love mean? You know, because Pisces is very much into ideal love. So what is the transition we're making as Venus then moves into Aries? You know, and just finding a way to change that energy or to relook at our relationships. And it doesn't have to be quiet or unadventurous. You know, we can put it all together. We can somehow play with all these concepts and let Venus merge out of Pisces and into this very headstrong, but fun-loving, energy of Aries. Like I said, when I think of Venus and Aries and lots of planets, maybe even Mars too, it's like this little kid who says, hey, follow me. There's an adventure over here. Come on, guys, let's go. They don't necessarily want to be alone, but they want to be able to pursue what interests them, right? So think about that. We've got that going on this week. And in fact, what day is it? I think it's Friday. Nope, it's Thursday that Venus is going to move into Aries. And of course, she moves pretty quickly. You know, she spends about 3, sometimes 4 weeks in a sign. But is it a mistake? Is it a coincidence that it's happening at the same time as some of these other things are happening? I don't think so. So, you know, as you look at that and, you know, and here again, Chiron is in Aries, that other asteroid that I said, that, you know, it's such a interesting pattern to look at. So no matter where you look in the cosmos right now, it kind of becomes Aries, 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 Aries. But like I said, Mars, the ruler of Aries, is in Pisces. So I also think that's kind of the reason we're not just going crazy, headstrong, fast. Because Mars is saying, but you know what? It really has to have some spiritual value. It has to have, you know, I'm getting into a deeper level of myself. So I'm relooking at what am I attached to? What am I attracted to? Because there has to be another, maybe deeper purpose here, not just to go off on an adventure and climb a mountain. You know, it's like, why am I climbing the mountain? Why am I pursuing this? So we have a few minutes left, and I want to touch on that Mercury retrograde, because that, you know, Mercury went retrograde yesterday on April 1st. It's going to stay retrograde through the 25th of this month. And the whole thing is happening in Aries. It was at 27 Aries yesterday. It's going to travel back to 15 Aries. And by the way, for those of you who kind of like to look at the shadow or you like to be introspective here, March 18th is when it was at 15 Aries. So we're going to travel back really to the middle of March and look at some of the messages, look at some of the things that have been going on. Those are some of the things we're going to revisit, renovate, redo. You know, Kat was saying on her show, when you think about retrograde, especially Mercury, think about RE words, redo, renovate, review, you know, whatever. There's, you know, how many of them? Dozens and dozens of words that when you put RE in front of it, it means to go back and do it again. And so that's what we're doing with the Mercury retrograde. So technically, the retrograde is between April 1st and April 25th, but we're traveling back to March 18th, and then it will take until May 13th until it's back to 27 Aries. So that's the other way to look at it, is we'll continue to reincorporate the lessons, the learning. And, you know, just let yourself do that. Give yourself this time to do this and to do it right, just like you were renovating a room in your house. You don't want to kind of do it just halfway. You want to do it all the way. So do all the preparation, do what you need to do. And that preparation word is actually something I think is important right now, because with Venus also moving into Aries, it makes me think of this idea that Venus is actually a planet that we think of as feminine. We, you know, when we think of things as being external, internal, she is about attracting something to us. It's her soulmate Mars that takes the action. And in combination, they're kind of this complete unit. Venus attracts and Mars goes out and gets it, or takes it, opens his hand when something comes to him. So in combination in our charts, we've got both of those kind of capacities or those attributes or those actions going on. So sometimes the action of Venus is not so much action, because it's about attracting something. And so I think about that too, is sometimes, you know, I even say to myself, okay, got to get out and get going, because this is all fire energy. But Venus attracts, you know? That's what she's doing. She's not putting all her time in running around. She's attracting the right thing. She's putting her time into figuring out exactly what she wants to attract and putting on the right clothes. I mean, you know, she doesn't just show up at the restaurant or the blind date or the bar or whatever. She very carefully plans out what she's going to wear. What does she want to attract? Who does she want to attract? So there's that quietness involved with Venus and Aries that sometimes I kind of forget about. But here's something that I thought was particularly interesting as an astrologer, is that Venus is more about attracting than doing. But this year, Mars, and by the way, Mars and Venus, they obviously come together every couple of years, but Mars has a completely different speed. You know, he's much slower than Venus. So she's whipping around, you know, every year. It takes him 2.5 years to go around the sun. So it's only occasionally that, in a sense, they catch up with each other. But Mars is actually going to be within one day of her leaving, when Venus leaves on the 29th of this month, when she leaves Aries. Mars will enter Aries the very next day. And when I saw that, I thought, see, once again, I know sometimes I'm kind of crazy looking for all these patterns, you know, and I'm personifying these planets. But to me, it looks like Venus is spending the month figuring out exactly what she wants to attract. Like I said, she's putting on her clothes, she's right wearing the right perfume. She is figuring out exactly how she's going to attract what she wants into her life. And the day after she leaves Aries, like 24 hours later, Mars is going to go into Aries and go get it. So Mars is going to enter Aries on April 30th. So, you know, to me, it's like she's handing off the baton, and they're playing this game of tag that I think is going to work out really well for many of us if we're a little more conscious of that kind of energy. So, you know, spend your time figuring out exactly what you want to attract. And then Mars is going to come along and help us do it. So the action that's going on in April partially is developing a stronger sense of self-awareness, self-knowledge, confidence, and purpose. We're trying to figure it out so that then when Mars comes along, we're ready for it. So once again, I'm going to wrap today by saying this is a week, this is a month to accept where we are. And to kind of get into that feeling of it's safe to be me. It's safe to be where I am and who I am with all my skills, with all my perceived deficits, whatever it is. So everybody, thank you for joining me today. I will try to figure out why Facebook doesn't like me. And no, I don't want to play victim, but yeah, it says I broke one of their social conventions or whatever it was. I'm not even sure what that was. But in any case, I will try to fix that so that next week I can look at your comments. So thanks for joining me today. If you didn't get to hear the whole show or you want to hear it again, you can find it in the on-demand section, the archives of One Two Radio. And thank you very much to our producer today, Jarvel. I got your name screwed. Jay Varvel. I was putting those two words together. So Jay, thank you for being here today. Please stay tuned because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. And this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on One Two Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world, and specifically that Aries Libra energy.